We find the very last phrase in the chapter, the words of Job are ended. He has been justifying himself for chapter after chapter after chapter. The words of Job are ended, and these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. They saw that he was righteous in his own eyes. God had seen this a long time before. Satan didn't see that. I'm sure Satan feels he's quite righteous in what he does. He's the accuser of the brethren. He has the audacity to go to God and accuse believers who are washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, who are sheltered under his blood. Satan has the audacity to accuse such. And Romans 8, the end of the chapter, tells us that kind of accusation doesn't stand up before God because of what Christ has done, but Satan tries. Another man steps into the picture. He's a help. He points out the mistakes that both Job and his friends have been making. But then God steps into the picture. And God asks Job. Very interesting how God starts. First of all, it says in chapter 38, verse 2, who is this that thou hast now saved thy words without knowledge? Stir up that now thy voice like a man, that will be one with me, and it will not be. Now, the first of the series of questions. Where wast thou when I founded the earth? Spoken rightly of me about my servant Job. And then God tells him to take 7 bullocks, 7 rams, go to my servant Job, offer for yourselves a burnt offering. My servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. Must I be with you after your father? For he hath not spoken to me lightly, like my servant Job. They have no understanding. They made all kinds of charges and said all kinds of things, many of which would be true in themselves, but with misapplication. It didn't apply in the situation. And the way that stuff, sometimes in verses 5 and 6 here, I repent. God tests the repentance if it's genuine. If he really repented in dust and ashes, what about his relationship with his parents? They had said every nasty thing about him, made every false accusation. God says, go to my servant Job. My servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. God had this confidence in Job. He had learned a lesson. He learned to judge his self-righteousness. No matter how righteous we are in comparison to other people, and Job was such an outstanding example in comparison to God, who loved me. In comparison to the Lord Jesus, God's blessed Son, our Savior, and our example, we better compare to us. And if Job was honest in his confession, and his friends came to him and said, Job, please pray for us. God is dealing with us. We want to offer these sacrifices. We want you to pray for us. Job wouldn't say, after all you said about me, after all your accusations, you want me to pray for you? Well, this is your nature to talk. They went, his friends went in verse 9, did according to Job and said unto them, and Jehovah accepted Job. And Jehovah turned the captivity of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And Jehovah gave Job twice as much as he had before. And the story ends on a very happy note. The Lord gives him twice as much property and gives him 10 more children. To bring the indication that the first 10 children were already with the Lord. Job didn't need 20 children to replace the 10 that he had had. God gave him 10 more. But when he had prayed for his friends, when Job had come to the end of his own righteousness and seen himself in the presence of God, that had not only said this in word, and show it to you.